Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the country's and world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk radio station on the internet. As always, a great show for you today, especially because I have an amazing in-studio guest who's going to change your life today. How's that? Yeah, I mean, you can't go anywhere, guys. But of course, all the shows are up in the archives here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to listen back, replay, download the show in case you missed it, of course. And all of my shows are available on iTunes podcasts as well. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Free iTunes podcasts. Wahoo! Thank you so much, everybody, for coming down here and for being on the show with me. 323-203-0815. That's the live number to call if you have any questions or comments today for my special guest, who I'm going to introduce in just a bit. If you have any issues or, you know, just, I don't know, life dilemmas, that kind of thing, we're going to try and help you out a little bit. Also, if you'd like to email me, you can do so right here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, directly to the studio. If you're a little shy, you don't want to get your voice on the radio, and you want to be a little discreet, you can do so. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I always love your questions and comments. Let me remind you, though, that we don't have a therapeutic relationship, nor does my guest. There's my disclaimer. But we're here to help, just offer suggestions and ideas. So let's get going here, guys. You know, one of the most common complaints I hear from patients, and I know my guest does too, is that they regret doing certain things in their lives. And they should have, you know, the should have, could have, right, gone in a different direction in their careers and relationships, or just in making certain life decisions, you know, in general. It just seems like there's a hunger from everybody for more satisfying relationships and careers and, you know, how can I manage my stress and anxiety and really become more free, you know, in this hectic and disconnected world. Oh, yeah, you think it's connected? Social media's connection? Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, it's remote connection, but it's not talking, feeling, really getting in touch with and understanding, you know, some of the subtleties that make up who we are. So if you wish that you could just wake up one day and reach across your nightstand and hit the life reset button, keep it here on the couch today. Because my guest is going to help you understand more about yourself, how to create the life you want, which is going to help you promote a clear, more realistic, and proactive attitude for learning and implementing new skills for an effective, productive, functional, and more fulfilling life. So let's introduce her right now. In the studio, I have a renowned clinician, psychotherapist, Dr. Fujian Zain, and she specializes in intimate relations, marriage and family addictions, addictions, overcoming trauma. And she's been in the media all over the place. You have seen her everywhere. Once you hear her voice and you say, oh, yeah, I've seen her on Dr. Phil. I've seen her all over. She's also hosted a TV show for therapists for 25 years and runs a large private practice here in Los Angeles. And she treats a multicultural population for nearly 30 years. So that means that my guest started when she was 5 years old.
I love you.
She has created a new model in the field of psychology called awareness integration. It's sort of a new model, as we would say. So we're talking about her latest book and her model and everything she can do to just kind of get your life in that reset mode. And that's exactly the name of her book. It's called Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. Welcome, Dr. Fujian Zane, for coming to the couch.
Thank you. It's a comfortable couch. It's a connecting couch. It's great to be here and be with you and your listeners.
It's so nice to have you with me. And I just, first of all, I love the way you laid out your book.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of self-help books out there, but this is more of an insight-oriented, take a look at yourself book and your experiences. And we're going to talk about that, how you really relate to readers. And it's very personal. We all have our own stuff and our own relationships and our own regrets. But your techniques of really working through things and becoming more aware are really well, I really appreciate the way you laid it out. And then, of course, you have tools. Everybody loves tools. Mm-hmm. And they're really, I don't mean to say easy, but I mean, they're so user-friendly and helpful.
Simple.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I always like to find out from my specialists, my experts, you know, sort of some of the experiences that led them to creating their model. So you have the awareness integration therapeutic approach. You created it. Mm-hmm. So what in your life sort of led you to this place to bring all this knowledge to people?
I started going to therapy and going to conferences that were self-help. And so I kind of started working on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I like this. I really like this. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot of trauma as a child and immigrated at age 12 alone.
My goodness.
So there was a lot of traumas there, and I had like a kind of a low chronic depression all the time, and I didn't know. And it, you know, with all of that, I figured I'll make it by 30. I'm gonna have this, and I'm gonna have that, and I'm gonna have a house and be married and do all of that. And I did.
Yes.
But I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was like, okay, this isn't about just goal setting. This is just about achieving. There's something else here that we gotta, you know, help. Mm-hmm. So as I started becoming a therapist and create, like, went on to coaching and the therapy, the whole shebang for the 30 years, and I looked at all the strengths that many of these different theories have, and yet each one of them has a little bit that it's missing, which the other one shows up with.
Right.
So I figured I'll take just the best of everything and put them together.
What a great idea.
And what the cognitive behavioral brought. So I brought the amazing concept of challenging our irrational beliefs and all of that. Then what the emotional therapies brought, and how to identify it, how to contain it, how to release it, how to see, you know, what the message is. How the behaviorist brought, like being aware of your behaviors and your actions and how your actions can change also the other pieces and your results in the world. And then as starting to look at that, I saw that most of my clients, including myself, just most of human beings, we have one really good skill or natural skill, which is the observation of ourselves, but we don't get taught that.
Right.
From very early on, we're always looking at others.
Right.
And then we also blame others for every result we have, right?
True.
Because if it's all about others, then they're the one who make us happy, and they're the one who make us pissed off, and they're the one who makes us fail. And
exactly.
So in therapy, I got it that also with my clients, they were looking at me as the savior, not necessarily looking at their own skills and looking at even when they do something, how they create the result. So it was bringing that awareness into the sessions of how do you think and feel and behave? How do you relate to the world, and how do you come up with all of the stuff, the stories you come up with the world, and then, you know, kind of like the projections that you have. And through this time, then there was one thing, Michelle, that was interesting, that we would go through the traumas of the past, because obviously a lot of us do, whether they're little traumas or big traumas. And I would have my client go and cry, go over the memories. And I saw that the crying was good. There was a lot of Kleenexes in the room. And I felt very effective. But the belief systems were not dismantling.
Yes.
Nor the memories were not dismantling. Mm-hmm. We kept visiting and visiting and visiting.
Yes.
And not only, I mean, they got some insight, but the insight wasn't transferring to the here and now today insight about how they were doing things. And the insight was not enough to clean up.
Right. No, I hear you. Yeah.
So the question was, how do we dismantle this? Because if we created this belief system, then how do we dismantle it? Mm-hmm. So I got it first that, first of all, we got to own it that we made it up. Because if we don't own it, we're not going to be able to dismantle it.
Yes.
Because we see it as absolute reality.
Right.
And if I get it that the absolute reality that I think is absolute is the one I made up, then maybe I'll be enticed to make up something else.
Yes.
Out of what that is.
And it's real. And, you know, when we do, we are encouraged by experts like yourself that actually we can create a new reality. And that is true as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful.
And it's interesting that the new reality we create, like when I went to all of these coaching seminars, and the new reality that I forced upon the old reality kept creeping in. And that's where sabotages happen.
Yes.
Because our system wasn't just going to believe something that was on top of something that there was a duality in it.
Right.
If it was just a new reality that I didn't have an opposing idea, then I could take it.
Sure.
But if a new reality came in and I had an opposing idea, then it wouldn't. Such as, you know, if I thought I was bad.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much reality of, oh, I'm gorgeous, I did this, I achieved this, and all of that. The I'm bad would have creeped in.
That little girl is still there in the, would you say it's in there, it's in the subconscious?
It's in there in the subconscious and it's locked. It seems like our memory works in a locking position if we were traumatized. Like if there was a belief system, we made up something, we made a decision about ourselves or the world. It was very emotional. It was a negative emotion that it was too much for our system to handle. Somehow it gets locked somewhere because we want to survive. And we couldn't survive if we had to deal with all of that.
Sure.
So then we lock it away and then it just kind of leaks.
Yes.
So it was like, how do we go back? And then it's like, there's a, you know those locks that has three numbers and you got to get
the
three numbers in a row?
It's like a combination lock. Exactly. Yeah.
And so going back to the memories, without that combination, we could just get a lot of good cries and re-traumatization.
Yes.
And every time we go back there with another way of negativity, we actually create new memories that were negative.
Right.
Like how victim I am. And then I'm going to create more victimization every time I go there if I'm going through the, you know, the victimization slant.
Sure, sure.
So the lock was... what I noticed had to do that memories and emotions are in the body. So we had to look at where it's stored in the body.
Right.
The intensity, naming the emotion, and going through the emotion to the first time we ever experienced that. And we made and set the belief to ourselves.
Right, right. And that is, that's sort of like getting the lock, chinking back to that. And so you encourage... You know, you would encourage people to go back to the very first time that they have felt that feeling of they're not good enough, or they're going to be, they're alone and they don't have support, or they're not lovable, or whatever that is.
Definitely. So, but in order to get there, I think we need to know what the actual belief that we made up was. Because just with any belief, we're not going to get to the lock and to the memory behind it. It had to be the right one. So it's like, how do you get the right one? Is to go and observe and become aware of the way you think, feel, and behave in different areas of your life.
Yes.
Because it shows up.
Right.
And it some of the things that isn't working in our life is just because we don't have skills. It's not. It's new for us.
Right,
we never
right,
saw
right.
anything.
Sure, sure.
So that's different.
It is different.
But then going through and kind of looking at what is the belief, the idea that I have about myself that limits me and holds me, and it's kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
And then when we get hooked, we know that's it. So if I'm bad, then I look at I'm bad. Where is it in my body? How do I feel when I say this to myself? And the emotion and the intensity, And then that's how I go through my body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've experienced this. When you just tell somebody to go back to a memory, they go through the filing cabinet of their memory brain thing, right?
Cognition. Right, right. Yeah, they do.
That's different than the actual memory that was stored in the body. So in order to open the lock, you want to go through the original memory that actually you made that decision. The day you said that to yourself, which
right,
was
right.
significant.
Yes, yes.
Not any other one is going to open the lock. And it's not as difficult, as I say, as you go through the book and go through the exercises.
It is not.
It gives you a simple way of how to find it.
It's wonderful.
And then you kind of dismantle.
Yes, it's really, it's beautiful. Thank you for that. I love it. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here, and we're talking to an amazing woman. She's a psychotherapist, renowned clinician, Dr. Fujian Zain, and she's specializing in intimate relations, marriage and family, addictions, overcoming trauma, and many other specialties. She's been in the media for years. She's hosted a television show for therapists and brought knowledge to everyone for about 25 years. You see her all over the media. Now she's written an amazing book. It's called Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. Sort of laying out from different techniques that have been established and statistically proven very significant in psychology, all these different techniques she's sort of put together from her knowledge. It's called the Awareness Integration Therapeutic Approach. But she lays it out here in the book Life Reset. And Dr. Fujian Zain will tell you in a little bit also how you can get her book and find out more about her and her services here in Los Angeles. It's so cool to have you in the studio because a lot of times people are out of the state or in other countries. And so it's nice to see you and have you here live.
Thank you.
So we're going to tell you all out there how you can get in touch with her and find out more about what she can do to help you here on the couch. We have some emails coming in on straighttalktalk@gmail.com, and I appreciate your questions out there so much, guys. This is wonderful. But right now I want to get a little bit more information from Dr. Zain about, you know, the process and how we can help you guys get in touch and use the awareness integration path to create the life you want. Okay. So we talked a little bit about your awareness integration model and how you've put all these different things together. I just wanted to throw something out. This is a little self-indulgent, but I mean, you know, you said we do want to blame other people and other things, and that is so true. We all do. But is the core of who we are and how we survive in our environment, home of origin, or experiences as young people, children, adolescents, were so vulnerable and so chemically imbalanced at those ages, you know. But isn't that all really sort of based on, can't we sort of blame our parents or the influences around us at that particular time, caregivers, whoever, you know, who sort of made us create these, I guess, messages and try to survive in the world?
We can certainly blame them.
Okay.
I just don't know how powerful that is
okay.
and what that's going to change.
Right.
One of the things, and I know that you know that in all of the research that's out there, we don't know how we perceive. Mm. We just know that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if the same twin are in the same scenario right. with the same parents, with the same things, that they come up with their own story about a certain event that happened.
Right.
And it's like, well, who made that decision inside our head, depending on, you know, indifference of whatever's happening outside.
Right.
So the world happens.
Yes.
We don't all get the, you know, beautiful cards and the rose garden. You know, we're all kind of given some good, some bad.
Right.
And it's like, what do we do with it?
Right.
So with all of those people who were really traumatized and how come they made it? What did they say to themselves that made a difference about, you know, what it is out there? And then you find people who were living in, you know, in between the cottons, and everybody was perfect, and everybody was catering to them. And, you know, they're depressed, and they commit suicide. And it's like, well, the environment obviously creates a space where, so I will say it another way, the environment doesn't make us. We create whatever it is based on the environment and make ourselves through that.
Yes.
But its environment is very influential. Mm-hmm. But then we're also influential in the way that we perceive and what we do with an environment. So whatever happened, obviously, kid, you know, every child has sensitivities and mm-hmm. Is born with some sort of a temperament. Mm-hmm. Some are more naturally resilient and some are more naturally vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Genetically, they might be resilient or vulnerable to things. Yes. So taking all of those into consideration, but knowing that at every moment I am making some decision here and I can have power over that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear so when I'm a child,
right.
But I can have so much power in the way that I can turn whatever is happening mm-hmm. to me into something that it can be useful for me in my survival even.
Yes.
Because what happens is we come up with coping mechanisms mm-hmm. at age 3, 4, 5.
Yes, we do.
But because we don't necessarily keep going over them and seeing if it works or not, mm-hmm. we act as a 3-year-old in our relationship at age 40.
Right. 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 Yes.
And it's like, sorry, it doesn't work anymore. I'm not 3 anymore. I cannot have tantrums and, you know, think that my mate is just going to be okay and should be my mother who comes and says, it's okay, honey.
Exactly. No, it's so true. Yeah. It's just changing the whole operating system in our minds. And like you said, getting rid of a lot of those survival skills that helped us in the past, but now we're adults and we're repeating the same mistakes over and over in our lives and our relationships.
And I always say, you know, it's really good that I had the ability to wear a diaper because I didn't have my muscles yet. And then at one point, it would be better for me to have my muscles to work it another way. And, you know, so it worked at that time. And then it works at another time. And then, you know, when I'm in my elder age, I would probably need the same tool again. Mm-hmm. So it really is not the tool or the mechanism or the coping mechanism. It's like, where is it useful?
Yes.
But we put it on automatic.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it's something worked once, we'll put it on automatic. Mm-hmm. And then we don't recognize that maybe the same thing is not working anymore until it's really like, you know, we've lost. We've lost relationships. We've lost job. We've lost our youth. We've lost a lot.
Yes, exactly. Beautifully said. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and we're talking about an amazing book today with my special guest, Dr. Fujian Zane. She's the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want, integrating various orientations in psychology and really getting to the core of our false beliefs of who we are and working through those things. We've talked about just sort of in your book how you discussed that you help us explore and take those journeys into exploring our relationships with our friends and extended family and our parents, siblings, and who we are and those messages we got. So you really sort of walk folks through opening, and I don't want to reveal the whole book. This is not a spoiler alert, folks. I'm not going to do this, but just a little tease, just a little taste here. So you can learn how to kind of release your core negative beliefs in this book. And also, you talk about how important it is to gain awareness of who we are in our jobs or our careers with money as well. And why is that important?
One of the things I notice is when I say I'm bad, I'm not good enough, I'm ugly, I'm this or that, when I'm about age 2 or 3. And so I take that, right? Mm-hmm. I take that and then I go to my cousin's house or family. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do from this land, I'm going to be bad with community, right? And then I go to school and then I have my friends and then one of them says something and doesn't want to be my friend and I wants to give me a secret and I didn't hold the secret.
Yes.
So then, you know, they're not going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. So what is that? My bad happens again. So I make up stuff about it, right? I create more formulas. See, people who don't like me, nobody loves me. And then I go to, you know, become a teenager and I have my first love and obviously everybody, you know, 1 week I'm in love and then the next week I'm over it. And then I'll get very heartbroken. And then I'll make up other stuff around I'm bad, right? So it's not now nobody's going to love me sexually and romantically and I'm going to be alone. So this formula keeps getting developed.
Right.
And then I go to school and, you know, and then I go to work as I'm 18, 19, 20.
Yes, yeah.
So my boss says something, an authority says something, my coworkers say something, and I built up a whole different formula now around it.
Yes, yes.
And then I carry these things about, you know, with the formula that my parents brought me about
yes.
money and wealth and
yeah.
all of that. So when going back and wanting to clean up, I noticed we don't have a straight shooter. It's like, oh, I
yeah.
see where it
yeah.
is. Let me just go do, you know, mm-hmm. open it up, laser, take that out, and then it's all done.
Right. Right.
Because it's become as a fabric. It's,
right.
It's woven in a
yes.
fabric of
mm-hmm.
our personality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then I figured, okay, how are we going to dismantle this all over the place?
Right, right.
So it's like, all right, let's go to all the areas that as a human being we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
People
yeah.
we don't know, acquaintances, family members, friends, work, even inanimate objects, because we have relations
mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
money.
Yes.
So let's go over all of them.
Yes, yes.
And kind of dig in.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you dig in each one of these areas,
yes,
you
yeah.
see that fabric
right.
and that part of your personality
right.
and how that formula that you made up about yourself
right.
now affect it.
Right.
So
exactly.
as we clean up here,
mm-hmm.
and each one of those gives us another part of that, the lock that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep going and cleaning up a part of that lock and then
yes.
cleaning up. Because different memories got built
yes.
through the ages
yes.
as we grew up.
Yes.
And all just brought one thing and, you know, made it bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes, yes.
So in yeah. order to clean up and dissolve that core belief, mm. it takes all of our relationships
yeah.
to be observed
mm-hmm.
and cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why it becomes important. And work...
Mm.
And money, it's a survival concept for most of us. It's an identity concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, and we spend almost like, you know, 10 hours
mm-hmm.
to 12 hours a day, between 8 to 12 hours a day on that concept.
Yes.
So, so important. And when that is done and gone, it affects every aspect of us.
Yes.
So that's why it's important to also deal with each one of these areas.
Right.
As significant.
Right. Because we do have those core beliefs about ourselves that we utilized, again, as survival techniques, which are not real or true, but we had to adopt those. And, again, we apply them basically to every aspect, like you said, of our lives, like a fabric. It is all interwoven. We have an email here, and I just thought it was perfect because I was going to ask you about relationships. Mm, I love that, because you are a relationship expert. So looking here, this is from Angie. Thank you so
Hi,
much
Angie.
For emailing us, Angie. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. So she says here, I'm 28 years old. My boyfriend of 2 years says that I am a drama queen and should have more self-esteem. I may be too sensitive because I think my parents were very critical and abusive. My father was an alcoholic. I have some low self-esteem. How can I get over my being a drama queen and manage my feelings of insecurity?
Oh, hi, boy. Angie.
Hi.
First of all, it's tough to
yeah.
be living in an addictive family and,
mm.
and with addiction. Usually what brings up is a lot of anxiety.
Mm.
And because we live with anxiety, then usually that anxiety turns into a lot of anger and
yeah.
rage. So the first thing I would suggest is don't worry about being a drama queen. Just
mm.
accept yourself as a drama queen internally.
Mm-hmm.
First, start looking at what type of behaviors is no longer getting
mm-hmm.
audience
mm-hmm.
for you.
Yeah.
Like, you could be drama queen, but if you don't have an audience, what's the point? You know, or if,
right.
or if you're doing this beautiful theatrical thing and everybody audience leaves.
People are going away out of your life.
Exactly. You know, the act isn't working anymore.
Right.
But So it's like the distinction of, again, how am I thinking that creates this all of this emotion? What type of emotions are getting created? And how am I behaving? What type of behaviors am I creating? And then, you know, how am I assuming? How am I perceiving my mate actions? What kind of assumptions and projections I'm assigning. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I think he's thinking of me? Then therefore I get insecure and go, you know, do all of these things. Mm-hmm. So kind of look at, is it true? Or can I do some reality check before mm-hmm. I get enraged? Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. like, oh, I think he's thinking of me this way. And then I'm upset. So let me think. Let me say, do you? What do you think of me? Mm-hmm. Or when you did such and such, what did you mean?
Right.
So, you know what, Angie? If you want to be pissed, at least be pissed at the right thing.
Right.
It's you know, it's like right. a waste of time for you and your body, you know, to go through yes. so much if yes. that wasn't even the case.
Right.
So first is to be able to be aware of that. And mm-hmm. then as you go through looking at these pieces, looking at, well, what do I think of myself as I'm with him?
Mm-hmm.
And so do some reality check with you. That is it about him or is it about the way you become with him?
Mm. Yes.
And do you become your mother when you are with him mm. and your mother who is acting, you know, that way to your father?
Right.
And then do a reality check that you're not.
Right.
You know,
right.
you're a beautiful human being that you have your mother as the minimum, but then you can extend yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, looking at how did I get to my minimum, it's always going to be there.
Right.
But who do I want to be beyond my mother? Mm. And to take on some role models, because mm-hmm. we didn't have a role model
right.
as a child.
Exactly.
So the same way we didn't learn everything from our parents, let's look at other, you know, mm-hmm. relationships and the way that people communicate and that I like it.
Yes.
You know, from movies, from books, right. from, you know, anywhere, from
right.
therapy, from anything, to look at what works.
Yes.
And then let me start doing the things that work
mm-hmm.
until those new things become my new reality and natural.
Yes.
And based on the exercise in the book, you can also go look at what if you, when you said, you know, when I'm with him, I am, whatever mm-hmm. negative you said,
mm-hmm.
then you can go through the exercise of going inside and looking at the first time, some of the
yes.
memories.
Yes.
And for someone who's been abused or been in a traumatic household, they might not be able to do all of the deep work
right.
with themselves, and they
right.
might need to actually, you know, choose a therapist beside them or wherever they are to be like a mirror effect for them or to mm-hmm. hold the space for them
yes.
while they go through.
Yes.
So that might help. Michelle, one
yes.
of the things, it's interesting that we did some research.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the research we did, we found out with therapy
mm-hmm.
That it minimized depression 76%, anxiety 63%, it raised self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And 43%. Then we did it with a divorce group as a workshop.
Interesting.
And a six-hour
yeah.
workshop, only
yes.
a six-hour
right.
workshop. We still got minimization of 30%, 27% depression and anxiety, and raising self-esteem.
Mm.
Now, the one that was really interesting, mm-hmm. and it brought up the conversation
yeah.
of having this book as a self-help, is we took 120 students from Cal State Long Beach.
Oh, that's great.
And we did a study by yes. giving them just the modules.
Yes.
So it was two professors, mm-hmm. four classes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, freshmen and sophomores have the highest level of depression and anxiety
yes.
and suicide.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So they took it on as mm-hmm. a project
yes.
in their course. So for one term, every week, we gave them one of the modules.
Yes.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
around the area of relationship or area of friendship.
Right.
Or area of school,
exactly.
career, all
yes.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end, we even, no therapy.
Yes.
No therapist.
Right.
Just them and the question and the simple techniques that
yes.
are in the book.
Yes.
We still got 43% minimization.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Of depression and anxiety.
That is amazing. So you gave them the tools.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great test, too. The book, by the way, and all of the tools in it, is called Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. And, of course, it's written by my special guest today, Dr. Fujian Zane. She's had a practice, private practice here in the Los Angeles area, several offices, private practice in Southern California. Of course, she is specializing in intimate relations, marriage and family, addictions, overcoming trauma. She's been in the media for over 25 years, hosting a television show, and she's been all over many networks and in radio and, you know, just sharing her knowledge. So everybody can, you know, get some help. I so appreciate the way you and I were talking before we went on the air about how, you know, your calling is to really bring help and the message to people from what you've learned. You are an amazing survivor, having immigrated, having come here when you were 12 years old. That is the most contrasting age to, you know, and the pubescence and just sort of learning about who you are and undergoing all of the things you went through. You are an amazing survivor.
Thank you. I was also sexually molested from age 3 to 8.
Oh, sweetheart.
I know that when I went to therapy to heal, that what it was that I also made up.
Yes.
About who I was.
Of course.
And who the world was. Mm. And then it was interesting, as, you know, we were talking about, you know, traumas are there. Mm-hmm. Things happen. Mm-hmm. And how do we take it? I remember saying to myself, you know, I'm never going to trust anybody in the world.
Right.
Especially men. I'm not going to trust it.
Right.
I'm not going to even trust women, because these were partners of women. Women didn't know. My mother didn't know. They wouldn't care. So it was a generalized.
Sure.
It was a generalized concept about non-trust.
Right.
And then, Michelle, it's interesting, because then I come here at 12 alone. Mm. And the only thing I could do is trust.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you had to, right?
You had to. You can't survive.
You're on your own. Exactly.
You know, so like I'm 15 and I went to ASU, and then I had to go to get an apartment. And then at 15, who gives you an apartment? But they did.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were sweet. They were nice.
Yes.
So I was never again abused. I was never again, betrayed in that way. Mm-hmm. And it was more like, wow.
Yeah.
The same, you know, if I generalize, and I kept generalizing,
right.
and I would go with that assumption at the beginning, I would have never gotten anywhere.
Right.
I would have been broken.
Yes.
So it's, stuff happens.
Yes.
And then it's like, how can I be with it?
Yes.
So that
right.
I can take care of myself and move forward and not go
Amazing
into a dark
story.
Place.
Yeah.
And consistently bring back the light to
yes.
move forward, because it's
yes.
so easy.
It's yes,
so
it
easy.
Is. It's so easy to go back.
The world is a crap. I'm a
right.
crap. I'm bad. All my parents are bad. Everybody's
right.
bad. And
exactly.
let me just, you know, go into a dark place.
Exactly. Do you mind me asking a personal question?
No.
I'm sure you have done this because, you know, you're a brilliant therapist, but have you come to terms with your family and all of those who abused you?
Amazing question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good.
Part of it had to do with, I attempted to talk to my mother about it, and she couldn't have it. It was
sure.
just her system couldn't, the structure couldn't hold even
right.
the conversation.
Sure.
So I decided I'm going to talk about it when I found out she had Alzheimer's.
Oh, my God.
So when I went and saw her, and
yeah.
I saw this, just like the brain was gone.
Right.
And this purity of love. Of a baby infant and a toddler
mm-hmm.
was existing.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I'm like, wow, this is her essence.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so pure that she couldn't just see anything else around her.
Mm-hmm.
And through her,
mm-hmm.
she just couldn't protect me. Not
sure.
that she didn't want to.
Right, right.
She just didn't, you know, it wasn't
yes.
in her system.
Right.
And then it was about changing the concept of what was being used, I was being used,
mm-hmm.
changing that concept
mm-hmm.
about who was I for these people?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were doing this with a lot of caring and love. I know it's weird to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were, I was an object. Some of
mm-hmm.
them, I was an object of their desire, but
sure.
there was some emotion too.
Yes.
And it was interesting too. I went back to see my mother, and then I went back to this location
mm-hmm.
that this constant abuse was happening. And I had no anxiety. And I looked at that
wow.
place, and it was, wow. I had so many other great pleasure and
yes.
beautiful memories out
yes.
of those locations.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular person didn't want to harm me.
Yes.
They didn't know.
That's right.
So part
yes.
of the reason I'm also sharing
mm-hmm.
is because I think that when people really know
mm-hmm.
the effect that they do have, in a sexual molestation
yes.
on people,
yes.
that they would reconsider and they would heal themselves and don't go through that desire
right.
and do that.
Right.
I truly believe that a lot of the molesters don't really have an idea about their impact.
Right.
They're just
right.
thinking very selfishly about what they want at that time.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think it's important to be talked about,
mm-hmm.
not only as sexual abuse victim, because
yes.
I think our victimization doesn't help us.
Right.
We need to be powerful. We
mm-hmm.
need to disown that shame. It's not
yes.
ours. Give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And but not necessarily just be rageful about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like also educate the predators about what happens to the other person. That's true. When they do that.
Yes. Do you think the predators are capable of understanding the effect that they've had on others emotionally? I mean, you know, you understand, like, some of the, we call them the Axis 2 Cluster B personality disorders, where, you know, a lot of the folks, just the narcissist, borderline, they don't have the ability to understand the impact of their actions and their mood swings on other people.
I don't think that they know. Are they? Can they be available to know that? I think depending on their ego strength and, you know, how much you can bring that out for them. But I've also worked with a lot of predators in my room and knew that they had no clue.
Yes.
And finally, when the grandfather who's, you know, molesting her own grandchild and thinks he's just loving her and thinks this is just a pleasure act, but it's a private pleasure act, that he really gets the essence of what he has just done, then the shame and guilt comes in, and maybe the shame and guilt produces some consciousness and holds off that desire. So I've seen that work. I've worked with a guy who was molested by an older man. First he was molested by a cousin, and then he molested his younger cousin. And to him, this was even out pleasure. There was nothing wrong with
it.
Then he was molested by an older man. And because that was still fun and pleasure, and he thought he had some say-so in it, it didn't turn into a, it didn't turn into any type of a trauma. It turned into, like, as an adult, his sexuality fetishes. That he recognized how he shifted. But there wasn't any trauma there. Now, the older guy took him to another older guy, which that older guy treated him like an object and kind of raped him. Can you believe out of all of these, the only one. That is the only one that he got. Because at that moment, he felt powerless. And that powerlessness is the piece that created the trauma. Everything else created more behaviors and, you know, sexuality and all of the shame and all of that. But this one created the trauma. So he got, even as a person who was a victim and a perpetrator, that when you put someone into a powerless position, and when you're going to a child, that child, no matter what, is in a powerless position.
Absolutely.
But the effect that he experienced inside of him is what he produces. And then he got it.
That's beautiful. See, what's amazing about you and your transition as well is you have worked through the understanding of the abuser, of the alcoholic, of the individuals who hurt others so much, hurt children and damaged children. So you've worked through and made the transition on your own to understanding sort of where they're coming from, that they're clueless, possibly. They're not evil, necessarily. The acts are evil. The acts are painful and destroy souls, basically. But you have kind of morphed into understanding those individuals and allowing empathy and love for them, which is, I think that's so difficult for so many people to do.
Well, because when we see darkness, we need to protect ourselves.
That's
and
so
I'm not saying that there are not dark people out there. But I'm also sensing that underneath any darkness, there's also a place in every human being that needs also to be loved and touched and cared for. And when they get to experience that, is like they can also allow that to signify in their system. Versus just knowing that I need to protect myself. And I know that it was so easy for me also to go there.
Absolutely.
And it took a lot. And it took also, when you said the environment, I also took a lot of beautiful, unconditional, loving people around me to also give me the experience of that light and love. And it's like, you know, which one were you going to choose?
God, that was beautiful. Thank you for being so transparent. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
We do have a cough button here on LA Talk Radio, but it doesn't work. So, pardon me, everyone.
Dr. Michelle here. You're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today, she's written an amazing book. It's called Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want, Dr. Fujian Zane. And it integrates so many different, I would say, orientations in psychology. It's why she calls it awareness integration. And she's created the model for you. And it is a self-help book, but really opens up a lot of self-discovery about, you know, thinking things about who you are and how you relate to life and how you can make those transitions, integrating so many different, like I said, therapy orientations. I wanted to get back. We have other emails, but I just wanted to ask you more things about your book really quickly. Maybe this will help answer the question that you had. Kyle, thank you so much. This one was about sexuality. So what are, we're going to sort of segue from abuse, sexual abuse, but what are some of the more important questions we need to ask about our feelings about sex, and why are they helpful to our healing? Because I hear, and I know you hear a lot of patients who come to your office, you know, talking about, well, I just don't have a lot of desire, or my husband or my wife is too much into having sex. Do they really love me? Are they just physical? That kind of thing. So,
you know, sex is one of the most important aspects of our life, not just because of the function or the action of sex, but have you noticed, like, if somebody says, Michelle, I came to your home and I didn't like such and such in your home.
Right.
Or, Michelle, I didn't like the color of your hair. Or, Michelle, right. You know, I don't like the way you drove that day. You know, right. We look at it and you're like, all right, well, I get it, but you don't like it. It's your opinion. And, you know, maybe you have a point and I got to do that.
Right.
But can you imagine what happens to us when somebody says, I don't like that, to have sex with you, or the way that you are, or the way that you were in bed.
Right. Yes. Ouch.
That hits us in our core.
Totally.
So bad.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
And it affects every aspect of us. And so it is significant. We make it significant.
Yes.
And it is significant for us. So the question to ask is, you know, I created the 12 questions, and it's about, I think we get a lot of our ideas about sexuality from peers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And parents.
Yep. We do. Yeah.
So the way that our parents were sensual, sexual in front of us, the messages that they gave, the community.
Or not.
Or not. Or they alluded to.
Yes.
You know, like, can you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you can't, or, you know,
yes,
oh,
sure.
My God, this one is gay. So,
right.
Or so those things are, you don't even have to talk about it, just the way you do, it already gives the message.
Right.
And then peers, right?
Right.
So now, what, about 10 years of age, now the kids are getting into pornography and opening, and, you know, boys having asking girls to give them a head, and if they don't, they're going to call them sluts, and they now blackmail them.
Yes.
I mean, at age 10,
are
my
you
God.
Kidding me? Exactly. It's
so
scary.
It's scary. So we start right. with these, we create a lot of meaning. So it's good to know what meaning do we give it?
Yes,
what are
exactly.
all the thought process? Where
right.
did we get it from?
Mm-hmm.
Do we subscribe to it personally? Is it our experience, or is it just somebody else's experience that is, you know, pushed and shoved upon
us?
Yes,
yes.
So we can pick and choose in that realm. The other part is to get to know, who do I think I would be as an attractive woman or a man?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Like any other role model.
Right.
Right. Take it on.
Right. Exactly.
I remember I thought, I mean, other people told me I was pretty and sexy when I was like a teenager or young.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Right.
I thought I was the ugliest person.
Right?
Isn't
that amazing?
I thought I was fat.
Right. How we all have this image of
right.
who we are, you know.
And then at age
not
50,
true. Yes.
You know, I hit 50.
Yeah.
Well, obviously I'm not as
right.
good looking as I was. My skin is an ass, a good ass. And I'm even, you know, way heavier than that. But then at one point, and I got menopause, and I'm like, I don't even want anything anymore. And then
you're
I thought,
so funny.
And then I thought, Michelle, you know what? I'm going to be the sexiest 50-year-old that I can be, and that's just the way it is.
You go, girl.
And just shifting that attitude.
Yes, exactly.
I get feedback from the world about, like, oh, my God, you're like, beautiful, you're sexy.
It's true. Like, you are.
So. And I'm like, it was just an attitude change I right. needed to have. And it had nothing to do with the reality of what I look like.
Right. Right.
But the attitude also right. allowed me to walk and talk and make myself up to be the person
exactly.
that I thought
exactly.
it was the sexiest and the more attractive.
Right. And you all can learn more about how to do that. We're almost out of time already.
Yeah.
Ah,
I had so much fun with you.
I know, me too. Thank you for being so open and sharing and knowledgeable and just giving us all this amazing information, guys. I appreciate you all for listening too, everybody. But Dr. Fujian Zane, author of Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. What's the best way to get your book and find out more about you?
My website, Fujian.com, mm-hmm. Foojan.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if that's too hard to remember, Amazon.
There you go. Easy to do. And by the way, guys, all the shows are up in the archives now and will be available for downloading and replaying tomorrow here on LA Talk Radio, right here on my webpage. Or, of course, all my shows are on iTunes podcasts, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. They're free, so you can check out the show again, listen, get in touch with Dr. Fujian, and also find out how to get her book, Life Reset. It's an amazing thing. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're wonderful.
For the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay, guys. Have a wonderful week. I'll be back next week again. We're going to talk again about relationships. Really focus on, learning how to communicate better and not to, reliving a lot of those old hurts and just lashing out at people and your partner. Sort of projecting how you feel about them based on how you feel about you. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And as I always do say, take good care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a good day now. You can stay on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye.